so much around us that is so ungodly like. So just pray that he will bring his peace continually to us. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 63. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again as we are gathered in your house of worship, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit is abiding in each and every heart. Father, if there's anything of hindrance in any way, God, we ask that you would remove it. Lord, that you would just come, Father, and just bless us and give us that which we have need of. Lord, we ask you to bless those that are in the Sunday school classes. Father, just teach unto them your word, Father, that they may grow, Lord, and be strong. Lord, they may carry on your word, Lord, throughout till eternity comes. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale this morning, Father. Touch his body, Father, and just deliver him anything, God, that is a hindrance to him. Lord, and we ask you just to bless him with your holy word that he's going to deliver unto us today, that we'll be able to receive it together. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry land, in thirsty land where no water is.
To see thy power and thy glory, so have I seen thee in the sanctuary.
Because thy love and kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee.
Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name.
My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches.
Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me.
But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth.
They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes.
But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
And how do you want to see him?
You. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Lifted it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. And I want to see you.
Amen and amen. And amen to that, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in Romans 8. And then we'll go to 2 Peter 1, and then we'll try to get around to 2 Timothy 4. Maybe we'll get that part at least. But it's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We had a great time yesterday at the train ride. I thought it was wonderful. We had good weather. Everything was good and all like that. And a good time to fellowship together and just have a good time in the Lord. All right? Now remember this coming Saturday, the festival down at the park at Gillsville from 1 to 5, so remember that. You're supposed to have signed up to let us know how much food we got to make, so just remember that. And the Lord willing, then October the 30th, Brother Forney will be with us for that weekend preaching for us, all right? The fellowship meeting will be November the 19th at Brother Tony's, so remember that one. All right, and Brother Joe Green, the Lord willing, will be with us on the November the 9th, which is a Wednesday, ministering for us. So that's basically covering all of the things. Just remember all of these and all like that. Amen. So Romans 8, 2 Timothy, and then go to Peter, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy last. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your love, and thank you for everything. Thank you for the day that we're living, the time, the hour that we've had. Most of all, thank you for the word that you have delivered to this age, and that we have had an opportunity to be able to receive that word. Because without your word, where would we be? What would it be anything for us without knowing you by the letter of your word, at least for that much? And how much more it is for it to be revealed to our hearts and our lives. Forgive our sins and cleanse us and keep us, Lord, that we may see you through the opening of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a brother sent us an email, a brother James, wanting us to pray that he had bought a smartphone and some way it didn't get delivered to him. So he's asking just a prayer request that we pray that, the company will send him the phone and everything. So just remember that, okay? Romans 8. Okay, been reading this for quite a while. Be reading it for a while, I guess. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, I want you to think. We're still in the adoption. We're still thinking on the adoption. And remember that if you put a lot of these things here, I do this while you're standing where you remember. If you put these things over to somewhere else, up into the authorities, up into close to the chains, then look what you're leaving out for everybody. Look what you'd be saying, that nobody wouldn't be having nothing until we come on the scene. All right, but that's not true, right? See, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, sufferings, present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hebrews 11:40, what? They without us, everything. Cannot come to completeness without you and I. All right. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, all nature, everything is to be delivered in this end time. Now watch. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, in other words, to understand the redemption of the body. Now, we're going to be dealing with the character or nature or thing of God. So let's read from 2 Peter 1 in verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. See, then we all have the same faith, the same Christ, the same birth. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The prophet said, by these promises, watch, that ye by these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, let's get one more. And this will be tying to our lesson part. All right, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. I know this is to Paul, but watch, it's tying to us. Okay? It said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I said we've been in adoption. We've been preaching for quite a while on adoption in three stages. All right, Paul declares it as to be to the Romans that he says that where that you have the spirit of adoption, which is the new birth. Now, if you wait until you come all the way up to here, to this age and the things to talk about, all of this is coming to that place. What about everybody before us? Do you realize what you're doing? You say, that's just carnal. That's why I'm saying it, because it's carnal. Carnal for your mind to even think about. It's been Christ in every age. I wish you'd read the church age book where Brother Brown said it was the Holy Ghost in every age. And I wish you'd read your Bible. Oh, I do. Well, why haven't you read over in Revelations 2 and 3, to every church age, it says to the Spirit. Is that right? To every church age, it is directed to the angel by the Spirit, so it'd be the same Holy Spirit in every church age. So there shouldn't be any thoughts about anything. Yeah, but we don't have this, we don't have that. Now there's degrees, we'll go along with those things, but the same Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit. Right? Get that part right and we'll be able to follow the thoughts. Alright. Saying that adoption is in three stages. What? First is your new birth. To bring you into the body of Christ, because we were not in the body of Christ. We were not even in line with the Jews as to having any thoughts whatsoever of anything about the people. You know, the adoption and all of the things was given to Israel. But because they rejected it, and then it was brought to you and I that we could receive it. So we have to be adopted into the family of God. And there's your new birth. All right. See, then you have growth development that would come just like a natural child, and it would bring up the child to a position to where that they could be an authority invested into the child, to where that the child's name would be just as good on the checkbook as the father. And that's great. Then we come to the life stage, because if you had that, you still wouldn't be complete. And Paul covers it there, and he says, to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. I thought that was what we wanted. Are we like the world teaches? Basics of denominational churches? And about half of this people of this message believe we're going to get us a new body. You know. Well, if that's true, where's it coming from? Well, it'll be created Well, why? You mean God can't take and change it? That's where your mentality of your mind goes with your denominational thoughts. Do you realize the day he gave you the new birth? You remember me preaching on that? The day he gave you the new birth. He not only made your soul eternal. He claimed a body that you're living in. It was claimed right there when that new birth came. And the Bible then would be right to say, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Well, that's only about Jesus. Well, the Bible said what spoke of Christ spoke of the bride. So that's where we go with the word of God and walk on. All right, but thinking about it now. And we got to the life's message there a couple of weeks ago because we had a little time off. These brothers coming, I really enjoyed them, had a good time fellowshipping with them and things. And, you know, you just keep praying for those brothers. All right? But we were talking about child training. All right? The Bible says to raise up a child in the way it shall go, and when it's old, it won't depart from it. It may depart in its younger years. But you keep claiming it. Don't give up just because they went out in the world. That's when you want to pray more. You know? You want to pray more for your family. The more they go away, you pray more for them. You know, and accepting that and saying, thank you, Lord. And what did the prophet say? If you don't have enough faith for your children, what did he say? He said, I doubt your faith for yourself. Yeah, but yeah, that's right. That's right. It's saying exactly what it means. If you don't have enough faith for your own children to be saved, then you must not have any faith of your own. No, this is individual. This is individual. You mean you don't want to think about your family? You don't want to pray for your family? Oh, yeah, we pray for them. Yeah, we did in the Baptist. Lord, do what you have to do to get my kids straightened out and bring them to you. We didn't ever pray, Lord, I claim them under the blood of Jesus Christ. And hold that to the point that we believe that they'll come. All right. But we got into child training, right? I don't want to lose this thought because you had 2 weeks to think about it. Or somewhere close to that. Of thinking about child training. Oh yeah, we've got all of the scriptures. See, we're real good to follow the pattern of Brother Branham, and that's wonderful. You know, that's great. Because that's what we're supposed to. But then when we, you know, we take things and we believe it and we'll go into, well, you know, the Bible says raise up a child. Okay, that's good. It means that. The Bible says beat a child, it won't die. We believe that. The Bible says that we chasten with a rod of iron, you know, and that's fine. And it says if we don't chasten them, then their souls are in trouble. But if we chasten them and try to bring them to the Lord, we can actually bring them to a position that they can and deal with their souls. But do we believe it that way? All right, fine, we believe it. But do we believe it as a fact of doing? Because this is where we kind of ended up, Deuteronomy 8 and 5. I don't have that on the screen, it's okay. It says, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. So as God would raise his children, should be the way we raise our children. All right, let's reverse that. As we raise our children, should be the way God raises his children. It should be to that point, you know. And sometimes we have to correct. All right. That's good. That's fine. I said to you, you look at them little puppy dog eyes and they're crying little tears, you know, and they can turn them on and turn them off when they want to, you know, kind of and make you think of how bad you are to spank that child. Well, just wipe the tears and spank the child and go on. You know, that's, we're not talking about child abuse. If I find out some of you in child abuse, I'll turn you in myself. I've always told you that because that's how strong I stand. Spanking is not child abuse. Spanking is correction, but what kind of correction do you have? Do you have the correction in mind that I'm the boss? And I've got a right to spank that child. Or do you have the thoughts of love? What if you apply the way you do to your children and things as to the way God does? We're going to get to it in a minute because we got quotes and things. We had to carry on with the thought. But, you know, God chastens, a prophet said, with a nail-scarred hand. Well, now you're going to think about whooping somebody. Why would it say that? Why would it say that God would chasten us or whip us with a nail-scarred hand? What's the thought? You know, it'd be kind of hard to whip a child if you had big old nail scars, you know, great big sores on your hand from being nailed to a tree. You know, you would probably want to hire somebody else to do the whipping, right? Because it'd be hard to do with that. Do you get the point of the scripture? We chasten with, you know, the rod of iron, right? But it has to be with nail-scarred hands. You know, that's evidently thinking about Calvary. See, don't whip your child. I've always said we're supposed to correct our children and raise them, and we believe in it. But don't whip them when you're mad. You shouldn't. You know? Don't slap them in the face with your hands. Stuff like that you can injure. I liked a little thing that I saw one time in a doctor's office about it or somewhere, that the little boy was standing there, you know, and they was going to give him a shot and they was going to put it in his hip. And he said, but that ain't where I'm hurting. My throat's hurting. You know, well, you put that there and it goes up. Well, and that's kind of the way it is with our kids, right? You kind of put a little rod of correction and you know, it gets a point to them. After a while, they decide, well, I don't need to do that because I'll get that again. You know, it does its work. We're supposed to raise our children correctly. God does that. But the point I've always had to you is that God does it as a rod of correction, as a rod of love. Amen. Do you whip your children because you're the boss? You're the mama. You're the daddy. Or is it supposed to be to try to turn them to the right nature? And if it's applied correctly, you know it will. But if it's applied incorrectly, what are they going to think about? Especially when they come to church. And the preacher, in his preaching, he says, you know, God whips his children just like we whip them. And there the child is sitting there with whip marks on its back and cuts and things where it's been blisters and all like that. Well, what kind of a thought does it have of God? There's a whole lot of difference in just our thoughts and ideas about child training. About raising your children correctly. You want to raise them with the thought in mind that you want their nature, their character to come into the position of being like yours. You ought to. You know. And see, then that way we bring it to a point that, you know, we're not looking at it as like beating to death the child, you know. Right. Yeah, but I got the Bible. So that's what I'm saying. You say, well, I'm just doing what the Bible said. It said beat a child. It didn't say kill it. What's beating a child? A rod of correction. Now you tell me that you put stripes across her back that bleeds and doing things and you're calling that the rod of correction. No. I'm calling that your madness and temper. You should never correct a child without the thought in mind of what the child is and the way it's doing. May I quote Brother Branham? It's close to... Don't correct a child unless you think about what their ways are. In other words, remember where you come from. That's close enough, right? Remember where you come from. Remember your life and your doings. And then correct with that thought in mind. Right? See, there's a lot more to it, because that's what I want us to get to. So we found out the word chastise or chastisements and things, that it means to instruct. It means to direct. In other words, with a growth development in mind. Not with punishment in mind. You see what our God was? He put them children of Israel down there under them. Yeah. And you going to say that wasn't his love? I'll just ask you one simple question to solve the problem. How many was they that went to Egypt? Jacob and his 12 sons. We'll give a few more to go with them. We'll put one with each one of them. We'll give 24 of them or 30 of them or 50 of them that went to Egypt. Right? That's where people don't even study the Bible correctly anyway. You know, when the children of Israel went to Egypt, they were victorious. They were not slaves. Slavery came apart because of later on when the man rose up that didn't know Joseph. You don't even study your Bible correctly. But I ask you a simple question. We'll say 50 went down. We'll say 100 went down into Egypt. It's all right. I'll ask you how many came out of Egypt when they started to the promised land. According to your prophet, about 2.5 million. See, all you see is the bad things. You don't see the promises and the things that God was to give and how he was to use that to bring them into correction. We don't see how that a shepherd would take a sheep that keeps running away and doing things wrong. And what does he do? He breaks the leg of the sheep. Huh? Right. Why? Well, he hates it because it's doing wrong. No, he loves it. Because he knows if it goes on, the wolf's going to get it. The bear's going to get it. The lion's going to get it. He's trying to save that sheep's life, so he breaks his leg where he can carry him and doctor him back to health. We don't think about the love of God in those lines. Especially when we compare it to our own families and raising our own children. I've always told you over and over, don't whip that child until you explain to the child what you're doing or the reason you're doing it. See? That's just sensible answers, right? Yeah. Thinking about it. All right? You say, but I've always thought, you know, that I always just took the corrections and the chastisements and the things like that. I always just took them as a whip. Said, you're saying that chastisement is instruction, teaching. May I remind you of what we're talking about? We have been preaching for quite a few months on adoption. What is it in adoption that we're supposed to be talking about? What does the father want to see? His own nature within the child. But the way we put it with the whippings and the doing and the chastisements of our thoughts, you know what we make out of it? We make a child that's, you know, I can't move till that. Daddy, can I move? Mama, can I move? I'm a good child. I'm minding everything. Everything you tell me to do, I'll do it. Is that all you think about adoption? I thought we were supposed to be talking about the nature of the father to be instilled in the son. The character and things of the father to be placed within the child. I didn't know it was because he's scared to death. Well, that's a good child. Well, Does he know his ABCs? No, he doesn't know them yet, but he's a good child. He minds everything I tell him to do. Does he know anything about algebra? No, he doesn't know anything about that, but he's a good child. He does everything I tell him to do. Is that the only child you want? Come on. Is that the only kind of child you want? Is one that's yes, 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 yes. According to my Bible, you've got some things like the prodigal son that is involved. And then when it comes out, the prodigal son coming home with the nature of the father. See, we're not even looking at it like that. We're looking at it as some kind of punishment. Do you think God could bring you to adoption by punishment? Now, sometimes he has to use it. Sometimes he has to let us get sick. Sometimes he has to let us have things happen to us. Amen. That's right. But just like the shepherd breaking the lamb, the sheep's leg. He's doing it in love. Now let me ask you this as before we start into it, talking about child training. How did God, now let's, we're not Trinitarians, but we're, okay, we talk a little. How did the Father correct the Son? I'm talking about God the Father we want to talk about, and Jesus the Son we want to talk about. How did he correct him? Did he whip him every day? Oh, you're silly. No, I'm not as silly as you are. Did he get up every morning with a rod of correction and tell the son, you got to go out and straighten up and do right or I'll whip you again? The whipping Jesus Christ got was from someone else, right? Why? Because of the nature of the Father that he had instilled in him through instructions, through training. Don't you think that Jesus would have been a very, very good child? You don't think that way? Well, don't you think about he would have been a great, good child because he would have been God, you know, walking? The things that Jesus Christ went through, you say, well, I got the scripture where, you know, it's a little bit different, so don't. We're about quoting it, but that he was made perfect through the things he suffered. See, we go that away and we make suffering, then we bring suffering to us. What was the sufferings that Jesus Christ went through? Because he was good. I couldn't understand that when I was in the Baptist church. I mean, I admit it. It was a bum fuzzling to me. How that all Jesus ever done was good and yet they hated him. I mean, all he done was fed the people, healed the people, right? Paid his taxes. Government couldn't even get him. Everything was in good shape. Right? But yet they were constantly after him. Why? He's a pretty good child, wasn't he? But you see, it wasn't things he was put through by God to perfect him. As to the bad things, it was mankind bringing those things upon him because of who he was. Amen. Character development is not made by punishment. Amen. Character development is made by studying the Word of God and instructions and things. Yes. Have you ever thought about the scripture we read in Timothy? Would you pull that up, Brother Joe? You ever thought about that scripture in Timothy, what it's really saying? Timothy 4. Look. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Okay. Rebuke. I'm doing what Paul done. Man, he reproved them people, and he rebuked them people, and he was just constantly beating on them. And I can't help it. I get in the pulpit. And when I get in the pulpit, I just see these women dressing the way they are. And I can't stand it. I just beat them to death. Like one brother said one day, he said, I didn't have a message until I went to Walmart. I'm not throwing off on him. I'm telling him what he said. What was he doing in Walmart? Well, he was buying something. Well, he must have been looking for at a lot of things, because he come out with a message about women's clothes and dress and hair. Like one sister said one time about a certain pastor, that every Sunday he preached on adultery and he preached on this and preached on that. And her husband asked her one day, said, "Honey, you running around on me?" He said, "Because I'm not running around on you." And said, "The other couple is here," because didn't have four. Said, "The other couple," said, "they're not running around on each other." Said, "Who's he talking about?" Okay. What do we think about reprove and rebuke? But read the rest of it. What are you supposed to do? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. I thought exhorting was bragging on somebody. I didn't know it was beating the daylights out of them. I'm exhorting you. Wham, wham. No, not exactly. It's building the person up. Right? But that ain't all of it. With all long suffering. What's long suffering? That's not suffering long. That's a little different word. That's long suffering, which means to bear with. Right? To put up with. Things going wrong, but you don't holler and scream about it. What does it say about it in the days of Noah that it was, that God, I'm catching the scriptures part, but it talks about that God was long suffering in the days of Noah. Right? Okay. Long suffering. Not suffering long. But then we leave out the last one. We leave out the word doctrine. What doctrine got to do with child training? But he told Paul, or Paul was telling it there, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, and doctrine. That's what I say about us, about our children. Are we just trying to beat the daylights out of them to make them line up with something? Or are we trying to correct them with love? And truly, are we trying to correct them with doctrine? How do you correct with doctrine, Brother Dale? Come on. You say, how do you correct with doctrine? Doctrine is the greatest correction there is. How many of you remember when you used to believe in three gods? Hell's being eternal and the bride going through the tribulation and all the things before we heard of the prophet's message. Right? And God sent a prophet to bring us the word to straighten out that doctrine. Correcting us. Right? Correcting in doctrine is the greatest correction that anyone could ever think of. Do you realize what he done for you when he took away from you the doctrine and ideas of what you had or what we had? I'm just saying that away for all of us. You don't ever thank God for pulling you out of them systems and things. No, I was of God back there and I'm God now. Well, you... You're not getting no point either. You realize that to correct our doctrine is the greatest correction that God could ever give to you and I? You realize that by correcting our doctrine, he is not just beating us, as the Bible would say, and beating, and it would save the soul. He's not beating, he's correcting us to save the whole person. Right? So it's the same thing. What is reprove, rebuke? How?
with long suffering, number one. Suffering long, putting up with things. Telling you over and over, Sunday after Sunday, about something you're doing, and see you still going on doing it. And Paul said what one day? Have I become what? Your enemy, because I tell you the truth. You mean I'm not supposed to be concerned? Brother Branham, I'll read you in a minute where Brother Branham was talking about Jesus, and he said his character and his development was in his life. He said he wanted to save people from, he wanted to heal people. He wanted to deliver people. Doesn't sound like beating too much, does it? Well, Brother Dale, when you bring out something, all you do is you confuse me because I thought I had it right and now I got it wrong because now you're saying for me not to beat the child. I ain't never said a word like that. I said spank them children. They need it. But always remember what you're doing. Remember, you're lining up with what God says. You realize by coming forth with long suffering and doctrine and doing things, look what you do, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You realize you're saving people's souls. I'm as honest as I can be. I'm truthful. I don't mean to be hateful. I know that I'm counted as to being that. But I'm truthful in one thing. For me to hurt your feelings, I don't want to do. Because I have feelings. But for me to hurt your feelings over a doctrine when I'm telling you the truth, I go home crying, yes. I go home crying about it because I had to do it. See, I'm supposed to look out for your soul. Well, honey, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you'd listen to Brother Branham without getting the wrong thoughts. What is his thoughts when he's saying about the child out in the street? And you're supposed to go into the street and get the child out. And not saying, honey, I wish you'd come out of there. He said, no, go get them and drag them out. What's he talking about? Was he not at that time dragging us out of organized religion? Is that not what he's talking about? You realize by bringing the truth to us how much he has reproved, rebuked us. With all the long suffering, 30-something years, he said, before he could preach the stature of a perfect man. It's in that message. You think he didn't have patience? But you see, we think it's a rod of correction. Like I told you, Brother Hansen's had the point. It was a good one. And the Bible says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And see, the rod was made to beat the wolves, and the staff was made to guide the sheep. So we just turned it around. We guide the wolves and beat the sheep, as long as the wolves pay tithe. Yeah. That's a good one, isn't it? As long as they're paying their tithe, they can come. Live like the devil. Well, I sure hope that's not here because I'm not just dogmatically about so many things, but I put enough in until you ought to know where I stand. And I'm no trouble with nobody knowing where I stand. But what about it? What about a rod of love? Not a rod of hatred and malice and things. What about a rod of love? You understand what I was meaning by the quote, and we'll get to it in a minute, where it's with nail-scarred hands. Do you realize that if he hits you, you realize if you got hands, my hands used to split, many of you remember, they used to split open, and I had to work every day, and they would be split open and blood running from my hands and all like that, and I worked every day and never stayed out a day on account of that. But do you realize what was going on? Do you realize it was hurting me? Do you realize to whip with a nail-scarred hand, it would hurt the person that's doing the whipping more than the one that's getting the whipping? You realize that's what the prophet is talking about? That he whips with nail-scarred hands. It hurt him a whole lot more than me and you. But do we think like that when we're spanking our children? Maybe one day you'll figure it out, because I told the kids, because the prophet is one that said it. And the Bible tells us. I'd tell the kids that it's hurting me more than it is you. Well, boy, it's hard to explain that. Right? I mean, your parents every day ever say it, they ever say it to you, mom and daddy. They say, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you. Say, well, then quit. Just don't do it no more. It's hurting you. No. You're not getting it. So when the kids got up and they had kids and they had to correct them one day, I said, now you know what I'm talking about. Now you know what I said. It hurts you more than it hurts me. It took them 40-something years to get there where they could understand it. Right? What about it, church? What about, I thought, if we believe in even a chastisement to is to instruct or to teach or to direct or, you know, that we're not talking about punishment, we're talking about the teaching. What is going to bring you and I to adoption? Now, I said this a few weeks ago, and I wish you'd think about it. What's going to bring you to adoption? What's going to bring you to a change? If it's the horrible things of the world and them beating us even for what we believe, then you better believe God done something wrong. You Well, you better believe it, because those dark ages were beaten and killed and cut to sunders, split wide open, babies cut out of the mothers and fed to hogs. But that didn't bring them to the authority of the stature of a perfect man. Why? If all you see is we need to go through beatings to get us to authority or get us to sonship. See, that's what a lot of you are thinking. You're thinking when this woman gets in the White House and she does all these things and they're going to come after us and that's going to make us get the stature of a perfect man. Well, I'm sorry. That dark ages has got it over every one of us on that, if you're thinking that way. Now get off of it. When I say it like that, I mean plain sensible. You ain't even talking sensible. Those people gave their lives every day, everything. You ain't going through no punishment. Oh, the devil's after me. I've been having trouble this week. Well, why don't you get out of his world? Right? You realize what they'd done in those dark ages, how they'd killed them Christians? You realize they'd take an ox and they'd fasten a person, one arm on one side, and an ox, and they'd just turn them ox loose and make them pull you apart. You ever read Fox's Book of Mormon? You ever read where they cut the babies out of the mothers and throw them to the hogs? Why didn't they come to the authority of the stature of a perfect man? That's going to take some long suffering and doctrine to understand that. It doesn't fit in their eyes, right? That's what I'm telling you. If you think it's just horrible things to happen, I've said it from the beginning. A woman in the White House ain't going to put us in no rapture. Not put us in jail. But it ain't going to put us in the rapture. It ain't going to bring the stature of a perfect man to a people because of a woman in the White House and her bringing horrible things upon us. What does the Bible say? If you can't keep up with the footman, you are surely not going to be able to keep up with the horsemen when they come. You can't keep up in a time of plenty. What about in the swelling of Jordan? Do you understand why I scream and holler so much? Because you mentioned, as I said, adoption. The people of this message, they're way up into the great headstones, the great things, the great idea. Maybe we'll get to it this afternoon. Let me ask you a question. Let me just ask you a question. Don't come to me between service now and talk about it. I'll just tell you I ain't going to talk to you. Okay? Were the apostles adopted? I thought we were supposed to reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. I thought doctrine was the word of God brought in correct order. Right? Now what have we been over and over and over on the stature of a perfect man? When I've told you over and over. I'm not throwing nothing. I'm telling it like it was when Brother Moult preached it in 72. Our Brother Colley and Brother Darty was here. Some of the older ones was here with us. It was wonderful to what he brought because it was great. But I asked him a simple question. I said, how do I get these virtues? It was about 1980 when God spoke to me. Through the opening of the word will bring the virtues. Well, I knew that all along. Well, great God, thank you. I didn't. And I don't mind telling you. I don't mind telling what somebody else said is the truth either. I quote people all the time, right? Why? Because truth is truth. Right. But what about it, church? Is our correction with the growth development in mind... Even your natural with a child, natural thing with a child. Are you correcting with growth, development in mind, or punishment? Because you're the dad and mama. Huh? Which way is it? I thought that the Holy Spirit was the tutor. And the Holy Spirit would be trying to having to rebuke us and correct us. And but it was done with all long suffering because it's the great Holy Spirit. And that he's trying to bring us to the nature of the Father. Hmm? See, God has his ways of training children. But they don't fit in our category. Well, see, we read the Bible and we think we've got it. God said, beat a child. God said, you're saving their soul. God said. We're quoting scriptures to him that he has given to us in natural terminologies. But when he reveals it to us, it is a lot different. Will you go along with that thought? All right. See, God always has in mind when he has to correct us of the love that he paid for you and I to try to save our souls. That's the way God corrects his children. But are we losing the point of thinking about it, that it's a rod of, not a rod of correction to beat us to death, but it's love. It's instructing. Now get back to what I said a minute ago. You got the child. Hey, the child's perfect. He's 40 years old. And he wants to, Daddy, hey, you love me, Daddy? I love you, Daddy. I want to do everything you say for me to do, Daddy. So, okay, son, walk to the door. What door? You understand what I'm getting at? May I put it in plain language? Wind up with a child with not enough sense to come in out of the rain. But yet they're so perfectly in line and sweet. Tell you what, so I'm honest. You can say what you think. I don't, now listen to me. I don't want a church in perfectly in line. Because I got enough sense to know it ain't going to work. Did that come out right? Or you understand what I'm meaning? Well, I'd like to see a church lined up. Amen. But it ain't going to happen. So why look for it that way? I was reading something the other day. Sister sent me a letter about a church these people were in that to buy a car, they go to ask the pastor. To buy property, they go ask the pastor. To buy this, they go ask the pastor. Now, a lot of you was back old enough to remember kind of out west, I won't call the states, but back over there a little bit, that a lot of them were legalistics to the point, and they were called, almost said it, legalists. They didn't do anything until the pastor told, don't ask me to tell you what kind of car to buy. You know why? You go buy the thing, and it goes wrong. You're going to blame me. You ain't going to blame the dealer for making it wrong. You're going to blame me for telling you the wrong one. Right? Right? The only thing I got to say about it is I think you ought to buy a General Motors product because I get my check from there. Okay? I still think Ford trucks is prettier. Dodge is a workhorse. General Motors in between. Okay. You get what I mean? Pastors want the church to be, you know, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Dale. Yes, sir, brother. No, no, I don't want that. I'd rather you look at me and say, I don't agree with you. Than for you to go outside and tell everybody else you don't agree with me. You know. Right? Because I ain't looking for a perfect church. What? You ain't listening. Go ahead and cut it off and forget it, because you're not listening to what I'm saying. If we had a perfect church, we'd already been in the rapture. So forget it. I'm trying to work on our perfection, but how do I try to do? You ain't never thought about a carrot of correction as being the word of God that you bring forth to try to straighten up people by the word and let them then come to the right understanding of God? And do that, then you don't have to worry about it. You mean, well, Brother Dale, you preach like that. Said you lose this, you lose that. You mean I got to preach tithe every week to born again Christians? I got to preach hired dress to born again women. No, when I say it, I mean it, and I get in trouble. Brother Brandon said, you can't get a Holy Ghost woman to put on a pair of pants. So how's that? She puts them on, she ain't born again. That's the way I preach. But you don't like it that way. You want it to be sweet and soft, don't you? I ain't sweet and soft. I didn't mean to go this way either. I'll have to preach another message, you see. All right. What about it? What about chastening with a nail-scarred hand? He said, well, you already explained that. Yeah, I don't want to read it too. Go ahead, number one. Taken from the Church Age book, the lady you see in Church Age. Page 355. Herein is set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons, sons like himself. Okay, watch him now. Therefore, before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of that same lump, he will make vessels unto honor like him. Is that right? And he'll make them of dishonor. Like their own selves. The choosing will be his own choosing. Then those chosen ones, born of his spirit, will be trained to conform to his image in their walk. He reproves with long suffering, watch, and gentleness and mercy. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. Sometimes this potter must take the vessel he is working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it. But it is love. That is his love. Another way of his love there is not. There cannot be. All right? Nor the love than the way he does it. And he said to rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. Like I said, you mean that when you see the truth of a doctrinal issue or anything, you know. You remember when you seen one God? You remember how wonderful it was? Now, I got another one in here somewhere that Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost don't act in one person different than what he acts in another. I'll look down through here somewhere. I'll find it. If don't, I'll get you seen. Okay. Number 7. The unfailing realities of the living God. Now, the Holy Spirit will not misbehave itself in one person and behave itself in another. It'll make each person come into its character. Huh? It won't act different. Well, the Holy Ghost told me to do that. Well, be real careful about what you accredit to him. Lack of words. I've always been the kind of person, kind of funny, and people don't like that idea. But you ever notice a lot of times I'll say, something told me. See, but everybody else, the Lord told me. I said, I didn't do it. Something told me. If it's the truth, I believe it's the Lord. But if it ain't the truth, who is it? Lord led me to do that. I feel led, Brother Dale. A lot of things could be said, right? I feel led to do this. I feel led to do that. I told you about the brother that come to me one time and he said, Brother Dale, he said, I come north and I always went north. He said, but the Lord told me to go south. I said, you're out of the Bible. So what do you mean? I said, when they went in the promised land, they could go north, they could go south, or east or west. But if they went out, they went out of the promised land. I said, God didn't tell you that. Well, you know what? He ain't had nothing to do with it since then. I'm sorry. He asked me. I wish sometimes you wouldn't ask me things. Because I'm going to answer you the best I can. As straight as I can scripturally and as honest as I can, you know. That's why don't ask me how you ought to buy a new car or you ought to do this and you ought to do that. Don't. Just don't ask me. Because I don't want to be your lordship that way. I want to, if I have to, reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. I want to teach you the doctrines of the Word of God. Don't tell me there ain't no doctrines. I'll quote Brother Branham to you in a hurry now. Come on. He said a church without a doctrine is not a church. Do you need that quote? Well, we don't have no doctrine. We just have Jesus, oh glory. But he's the third person in the Trinity. God sent me one the other day, and I got so tickled at him. I'm laughing at him. He's been around us and all, and he knows about Brother Branham, and he's been in. But he said, Branham said he believes in one God. He said, I believe in one God. Said, Branham says that in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know? He said, I believe that Jesus was the third of the Godhead. That's back to the old doctrine of three persons again. Right? But he said, he's a third of it. Well, that ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said in him dwelt the fullness. I don't care what you want to say and argue. Solves the problem. The Bible said in him dwelt the fullness. He didn't say a third of it. Well, you just don't understand. I agree, I don't understand. But I thank God for doctrine that he straightened out that I used to think that away. And so did you. Oh. No, Brother Dale, I've always believed in one God. Come on. I want to take reprove, rebuke, and long-suffering and doctrine, right? You know that it's hard to preach the truth. It's easy to preach a lie. No problem preaching a lie. You can just be like that brother did, like, you know, here a while back. Come here. He said this is a, what was that word he used? Circumstantial evidence. You remember that? This is circumstantial evidence. I believe this, 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 circumstantial evidence. I don't believe in circumstantial evidence because it's no good. I want something got a fact. At least make me a fact. You know, let me see it. Okay. But how did we find that the Lord Jesus chastens you and I? With love always in mind first. Not hatred to try to bring us forth to his nature, but to try to instill his nature, his character within us. All right? Brother Branham said on believing from the heart, he said, Christ declared God's character. Christ declared God's character. That's not on there. This is what I'm saying. Not that God done it, but he allowed it to happen. He allowed the devil to go after Jesus Christ. But do you realize that if he, the love in him was so much that he would have in no way stopped that from taking place? You realize that? You realize he could have stopped it? But he wouldn't do it that way. Christ's character is made perfect through the opening of his word. So then the Bible's right. Reprove, rebuke, with all long-suffering, and doctrine. What's going to straighten us out? The truth. What's going to bring the nature of Christ? The truth. I just don't like doctrine. Well, as I quoted a while ago, Brother Run said, a church without a doctrine is not a church, so that's your business. Hallelujah. Have yourself a good time, because it's going to be over, yeah. But look, do you realize the life that is in you? Now, I'm bypassing a whole lot of the message because I got just a few minutes. You realize the life that is in you is what's making your character. Yeah? The life that's in you is making your character. So then what would be the first thing we need to work on? Not beating the body to get it lined up, but working on getting a life on the inside. Right? Because if the life's on the inside, it's going to bring the outside under subjection, correct? But that Holy Ghost, Brother Randall said, is sitting in you, listen, waiting on you to bring him the word. And said when he you bring it to him, he will make it alive. You mean it ain't alive? It ain't alive in you. Until he brings it in you and makes it alive. Think about it. You say the character of Jesus Christ was made perfect by suffering. But everything he went through was not the Father beating him. Okay, see, we've got to get off that natural story. Right? Give me just a second. Let's get off the natural story. And it's all there because it's got to be there to help us to understand about whipping a child and doing it and raise it correctly. But let's get up a little further just for a minute. Give me 5 minutes on this talk. Was Jesus made perfect because of suffering for something he done? Or was it because of who he was and the things he done in that line? Right. That's what brought the devil after him, right? That was not God doing that, right? on, church. Look at it. Bring it up to where Jesus was standing on earth. Is God standing up there with a whip? All right, boy. All right, boy. You act right. After a while, I'll adopt you. I thought God was in there. I thought everything happened to him was the devil life dream. Sure, that God had to permit that to happen. We don't never quote Brother Branham. You realize what he said one day? He said, what if that sickness is on you because God permitted it to happen? Now, may I quote him more? You take that one. May I quote him this way? There is no sickness can come on you without God permitting it to happen. Is that? It can't come without God permitting it. Now, we're not talking about a bad cold or a sneezing or a germ you were born with or whatever. That's a sinful curse of mankind. Don't blame everything on him. But what did the prophet say? He said, first thing, you ought to just ask God what this is. Paraphrasing the statement, but it's very close. He said, then after you've done all to do, the Bible says, do all you do to stand. He said, ask God about it. And he said, if it don't go away, and you've made all things right, right? You apologize to the cat because you kicked it. That's just not the bottom. But then what are we supposed to do? Stand believing that God is working something on our character development that needs to be brought into manifestation. Are you with me? God never took a whip and beat Jesus. Sure, he had to take his hand back and let the devil. Yeah, we understand all that. That's fine. But it wasn't him doing it. And it was every bit of it was meant. But now you think about what he's saying of the thing I've stated twice. Did he chastens with a nail-scarred hand? You realize all he took and all he done in his life brought him to a position of the nature and the character of Almighty God. Will you agree? You don't have to shake your head or holler amen or nothing. Do you agree that all he went through and all that happened brought him to a nature and character which was the nature and character of Almighty God? All right, what should be the goal for you and I? Should not his children be the same? Well, the devil's been after me. Well, that may be true. That may be true. But just find out and ask God. Say, well, is this something that I've done wrong? You know? If it is, I'll straighten it up. No. But if it's something that has wrought a correction that I need to be, teach me now. Instruct me to be patient. What was Brother Brown talking about? Patience? He said patience with God. Watch. What? He said when you ask him and he don't answer you immediately, he said then you got patience. Right? See, what does all of that correcting and doing? God has to come first to you and I and give us the new birth, time-tested faith, making us a new person, bringing Christ into our lives, all right, coming on down to where that he would say on the message, the position of the believer in Christ says that we become partakers of his divine nature after coming into the body of Christ. So we got to get into the body of Christ first. Stature of perfect man, he spoke of him filling us with his own divine nature. Right? We quote it, but do we really see it where Brother Branham is saying stature of perfect man and quoting the scripture says, by these in Peter there, that he might make us partakers. He's telling you how to become into the stature of a perfect man. What? By these. Not by whipping and beating, but by these divine nature, by these virtues. to be brought into us that come by the opening of the word, according to, we'll get to it this evening, 327 of the church age book, this messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. One, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, statue of perfect man, right? Two, the thunders, which is a revelation contained in the seven seals, and to be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn us back. So if you want to know how to be turned back, do you want to know how to gather virtues? Why is it the people then won't study the seals? I didn't say that. Well, I just can't understand them seals. Well, according to the prophet now, may I say it this way, then you argue with it. But you remember, you're arguing with him. If you won't go the correct route, you're not going to get the virtues. I'm not going to get them if I don't go the correct route. Agree. Well, I've sure had a lot of trouble, so I must be growing in grace and knowledge. How do you grow in grace and knowledge? By getting a whooping. Growing in grace and knowledge, I thought, meant growing in the revealed word. Yet being a son, learn he obedience. What? First, he was under subjection to his mom and dad, right? Don't you think Jesus was? Oh, no, no, he was correcting them all the time. You got a mentality of, forget it. I thought that we believed that adoption was the nature of the Father being instilled in the Son. Amen. I thought that's what happened there in flesh, in human. But the very nature of Almighty God, the very character, the very person, the very life came into human flesh. Amen. And a flesh lined up to what was within inside of him. Amen. I thought adoption was the nature of the Father being instilled in the Son. But now we've got it turned around, see. We've got it turned around thinking that it's the nature of the Son. It ain't the nature of the Son that's important. It's the nature of the Father in adoption. It's not the Father taking the nature of the Son. It's the Son to take the nature of the Father. I thought that's what happened in Jesus Christ. I thought that's why he's called a son. Amen. I thought that's why he's brought into being like that. Yep. It's because of he became the very nature, the very character of Almighty God. You know why he come out? Because he was God. Amen. Huh? He was God. Yep. Why are we supposed to have the nature of God? I thought we were supposed to be the children of God. I thought the new birth was to bring us to a nature. Amen. I thought, as we were just quoted there, where the brother Ryan said, after coming into the body, you become partakers. Come on, brothers. Amen. You become partakers of his divine nature after coming into the body. Amen. That was what I thought. Right. See? But what about it? Reprove, rebuke, with all long suffering and doctrine. I hope you remember that statement and the thoughts I brought. Doctrine is the greatest correcting force. You know, doctrine straightened out. I mean, to straighten out our doctrine is the greatest correction we could ever think of in our life. Do you realize what God is doing? He's saving your soul from hell by bringing to you the truth. What a loving Father. As a quote in our Brother Ryan says, Jesus loved to heal and loved to do, you know, because he had God's nature. Well, shouldn't that be our nature? Yes. Now, if somebody goes against us, we kind of want to pull the plug. Right? Somebody different than us, we want to pull the plug. Right? world out there might not know what I mean by that. I mean, you might want to cut his life off. It's what you do when you pull the plug, you know, you got it under these oxygen and you pull the plug, it's gone. Is that the way we think correction is? Bless God, he spoke evil against me. He deserved it. Well, what about the times you spoke evil? Yeah, but don't bring up my life. They're having trouble with Trump now, ain't they? Because every time everybody's bringing up all of his deal, now he's fixing to bring up all of Hillary's. I still say they ought to make them co-presidents and put them in office and forget it. You know, just forget the whole thing. Costing us billions of dollars for them to find out and tell about each other. Now he's going to tell she's a dope addict. He's going to try to get her to take a drug test. Well, silly. She ain't going to do it with you and I. Let's stand together. What do we got? Now, they ain't going to put us in a rapture. If it did, why did the prophet come?
Search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior.
Anybody have a need?
No. My thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our sister's thanking you for things you've done for her. And Lord, it has a desire in her heart to think about this old problem I'm having with my eye. Lord, you just lay the burden upon the people's heart that they pray your prayer of deliverance for me. And I believe it, and I thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Just think about it. God so loved us. Her sister's got some problems on her hand. We believe you, Lord, that by your stripes she's healed. We thank you. Anybody else?
It's my desire.
Nah, anybody else before we go?
Yes, Lord, take my life and make it holy.
Amen, right?
Fill my desire.
This Lord, come on the scene in each one of our hearts and lives and all I am. Let us see that we're being rebuked, reproved, and all by long-suffering and doctrine. Whatever thing else comes along, the devil's doing it. We don't brag on him. We brag on God and what he said. What about it? Father, we thank you. And we just ask you as we go now to eat a natural meal and then bring us back together this afternoon in thy word. Help us to see what it is to really be a child trained, that you're doing it through your word. And then if we need correction, Father, bring that also. Because it's no problem. We don't give no honor and glory to nobody but to you. And we thank you. Just have your way with each one of us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
word declare, thou wilt supply our need. For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead. Oh, Holy Ghost.